is Jonathan. Hey, I'm from India. As you can see, I'm brown. But I've been living in Maastricht, and I work at Maastricht University. So the talk of what I'm going to speak today is about maturing in Jesus. I want you to first turn to Matthew 11, verse 15. It says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this is very important. Why I bring this up is because you see that door at the back of you, right over there. Over there, the devil is standing, waiting for you to come out and live the rest of your life as you're supposed to live on a non-Sunday. Right? And many of us has experienced that. And he's just waiting there. And also prepare your hearts, because some seeds fall on solid grounds, some seeds fall on good soil and bear fruit. What we want to do is to bear fruit according to the will of Christ. Amen? And the devil wants you not to do that, so he will do everything possible so that you do not hear and you walk out the door as a normal person. When you come to church, you should come with expectation of blessing, that you will receive something from Christ, something powerful from Christ. The Holy Spirit will bless you. At the same time, you should be willing to impart your knowledge of Christ to others. Amen? And that's the focus we're going to go in. There is one verse which has been very close to my heart for some time. It's 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, as many of you have watched the National Geographic or Discovery Channel, you guys know if there are lions hunting, who do they attack first? The weak, the babies, the little kids. They do not attack the strong unless they're in a bigger crowd. They attack the weak, the one who is on the side, and not the one in the middle. I had a talk with an atheist colleague of mine, and he said the Bible Belt we have in the U.S. and also we have Bible Belt in the Netherlands, I'm not sure how much it is true, but rumors can be dangerous. He says that all the weak Christians condemn what is wrong, but according to statistics, the Bible Belt has most queries for pornography. Isn't that so sad? We as Christians should lead by example. And on the other hand, we are so weak that we do not even know when we become a hindrance for somebody else. We push them away from Christ. What exactly happened in the Middle Ages? Europe was a Christian nation, a Christian unity, Christian continent. But because of the hindrances we got from the church, we got from our fellow Christians, we left the faith. Who is to be blamed? The people who left the faith or the people who gave the hindrance? Therefore, that's why it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. A lion walking lazy in the zoo is not roaring. A roaring lion is a lion who kills, who tears, who puts to pieces and eats. You have heard in the news several times about these evangelists, these powerful men of God, fallen from grace, with no hope for them in sight, because the Christians themselves have rejected them. We even reject our own. They were devoured. They were devoured. And that's where the devil is standing, waiting so that the seed does not stay in you. It takes it out. You live your life according to your own will. Another thing which I note, see, we can be testament to ourselves. What do our colleagues in our office, our friends who are non-Christians, what do they say about you and me? Do they say we are a holy people? They may call us crazy, which is good, because we are crazy for God. Amen? But if they call us a hypocrite, there is something wrong within us. What if the government decides to look into the history of your computer from the day you were saved in Christ Would that be glorifiable? It depends on our walk of faith. Let us go to the next verse, which I want to bring up, is 1 Corinthians 3:2. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're not still not able. When we come into Christ for the first time, we come with rejoicing, with power, with freedom, and we are so happy, so full of faith that nothing is impossible for us as soon as we get saved. And we, each of us who have been saved, are a testament of that. But then later on through the stages of life, our fire sort of is mild. We do not grow. We stagnate. Now we have Michael. So imagine, let me make fun of Michael now. Forgive me, my brother. So as I was saying, imagine my son. He's 3.5. He has a milk bottle. Now imagine Michael drinking that milk bottle. Will his bones become stronger? Not at all. If we do not shift to solid food, we will not grow. We have the salvation, but we desire not to grow. We want to just stick to that only foundation and not grow beyond that. And what happens is our bones are weak. We, the lamb, the sheep, in the herd, will be the weakest, and the devil will devour us because we do not feed more. In the wild, as soon as the deer starts running, after it moves from milk, it moves to solid green grass, real food. If it sticks to its own milk of the mother, which runs out, it will die in the wild because the lions are waiting for it. And that's what the lions are waiting for us outside. And that's why we have these such sad news. I would not call them shameful. They are. But for me, they're more sad. Sad. God. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 14:12. It says here, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. We become Christians. We follow Jesus. And then we want to make Jesus follow our lifestyle. We do not want to follow the lifestyle of Jesus. We may or may not know it. We may be self-righteous that this is how it is. What the tendency I see in the church today is that we say, this is my lifestyle. Let's see if the Bible allows it. Rather, it should be the other way around. What does the Bible say we should do? That we should make our lifestyle. Amen? Do not bring your culture to Jesus. Bring Jesus to your culture. Your culture should be Jesus. Amen? Because no culture is perfect. Of course, all cultures have their ups and downs. But our focus should be on the culture of Jesus, the Word of God. And as a result of this, as a result of thinking that this is our way, we fall. Each and every time we pray, God heal us, God forgive us, let us grow in you, and we become strong again, and then we fall again. Happens in this cycle continuously, keeps on happening. Why does this happen? I want you to turn with me to Romans 15:1. It says here, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And then there are those amongst us. Consider yourselves strong in Christ. We are supposed to bear with the weak in Christ, lest we hinder them and push them away from the faith. Paul says he'll do everything possible to make the gospel attractive. He will be Greek for the Greek. He'll be Roman for the Roman. He'll be a Jew for the Jew. Because the gospel of the Christ is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's very important. But the sad part is, we know Jesus. We have been sealed with the mark of the Holy Spirit. We are looking for salvation at the day of redemption of our bodies when Christ comes again. And yet we fall. Not falling as if we are weak, but falling as a hindrance. Because what you do in your personal life will affect the people around you, whether you know it or not. Because we are the body of Christ. If one body part is weak, the whole body will be weak. We are supposed to live in unity. There isn't supposed to be any division. And yet we fall. Why do we fall as such to become hypocrites rather than weaklings? Why is there so much hypocrisy in the church? We have to mature. We have to leave the milk of spiritual milk we receive from God and start eating real food. When I say real food, I would start thinking of Burger King and Pizza Hut. But that's not the point. We need real food. I would like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The Lord is Jesus. Of his might is God. They're one. We already heard that song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And the joy is one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What is that joy? The joy is that Jesus came, he died for you, he rose up, he's coming again, and you are saved. Your sins will not be accounted for you. That's the joy we have in our heart. And that's what the devil wants you to forget when especially you're down. And he further on says, in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles means schemes of the devil. The schemes he has standing outside for you, waiting for you. As soon as this sermon finishes, we go home, we enjoy our life. The Bible doesn't say not to enjoy your life, but what does not glorify God, do not do. Amen? And then the next verse he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the heavenly hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places," or spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, depending on the translation. Joyce Mayers, I think, that the mind is a battlefield. This is where our battlefield really lies, in the mind. The thoughts you have in your mind, the desires which come in your mind, the shameful thoughts which come in your mind, the depression which comes in your mind, the sickness which comes in your mind is caused by these people, by these principalities, by these powers, whether you believe it or not. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle. Why they use wrestle, it's in the Roman context back then, but the other translations can also use fight. And that's where we fight. Romans 7:15 says here, Paul says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I will do." That sounds quite familiar. We want to grow in Christ, yet we're stagnated. We fall in sin and we promise God, "God, we will not do this. Your blood washes us from our sins. We are saved," and yet we fall again. This is what Paul is talking about. We fall. We don't want it, but we got addicted to it. Whether we admit it or not, we're stuck with it. And that's what Paul says here. Then let's go to the next verse of Ephesians, that is verse 13. It says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. What does withstand mean? Defensive. So if somebody is attacking you, you are there to break it. You're there to stop it. Defense. Further on it says, "Stand before..." No, wait. Could you go a verse before? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, sorry, it's right. "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." The evil day is the day of temptation, the day of problems, the day of depression, the day of issues, the day of death. Everything. "And having done all," after accomplishing your withstand, "to stand," that is to go on the offense against the devil. It is not only that you defend yourself, but you offend the devil. You go into his territory and conquer. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen? Therefore, then the next verse says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is? Let's break this verse in two parts. This Ephesians 6:10-18 is generally called the armor of God. And that's what I believe is essential not to fall and to mature. And that's where I think the key is. And this is where we have to focus. And that's why we will break down this now. Stand before, having girded your waist with truth. Let's just take the first part. Truth. What is the truth? Turn with me to John 8:32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, the truth is Jesus and him crucified, resurrected, paid and atoned for our sins, and we receive salvation. That is the truth. That is the truth. What happens if we wear a loose pant and don't have a belt? We are ashamed. It falls down. We are embarrassed publicly. If you do not know the truth, the devil will embarrass you publicly. If you do not have a strong foundation, the devil will embarrass you further. He will try to pull you away from the faith. And that's what happens. Therefore, it is important to wear the belt of truth. In Ephesians, in the same verse, it says, "And the breast, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." I would like you to turn with me to Isaiah 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let him return to the Lord, Jesus Christ. Through his blood, come to Jesus Christ and he will have mercy. For whoever come to Jesus, he will not send away. Right? It's written that. And that's what it is. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not pardon, abundantly pardon. Abundantly means a large amount. And we all are testament to our weakness and how many times God has forgiven us. Each time we go to him, we are forgiven. But then the question also comes up again. How long will the blood of Christ wash us from our sins? How long is he going to be patient that we fall? You have observed how patient he is. We're supposed to be patient with others who are weak. Amen? And then the next verse I'd like to open is 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? I want to remember this verse, and let's go to the next verse. That is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto thee. Sorry, I said the King James Version, but this is the New King James Version. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So first, we have to be cleansed from our unrighteousness, our own arrogance, our own sins. We have to be justified in Christ. And we put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is through Christ. This verse is so key. Why I say this verse is so key is that when I was, you know, I'm coming from India, being an Asian, we're like supposed to do the best we can do at whatever we do. I did my bachelor's degree in biotechnology, and then I did my master's from Delft in biotechnology. Then I did my professional doctorate in Delft in bioproduct design, and then I did my PhD with cum laude from Maastricht University. Now what? That has not given me satisfaction. That is nothing in front of the gospel of Christ. That is all rubbish. I have not found peace in what I have done professionally. I have found peace in seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where our focus should be. Why do we worry? We do not have to worry. God will worry for us. He has fed the birds of the sky and the flowers of the field, which Solomon in all his glory did not have. Yet we are his close, loved at his heart. Why should we worry? Therefore, this is very key. If you look for the kingdom of God and you focus on his righteousness, everything you lack will be added to you. You will get it automatically. It is by default. You need not worry. That's what it says. Amen? The next verse says, that would be Philippians 3:9. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, that's where self-righteousness comes in. I'm a good Christian. I pray every day. I do this. I'm not a sinner. And that is from the law. Why did Jesus have to come into this world? He came because the law could not sustain us. We were not able to follow the law to righteousness. We were born in sin and we were dying in sin. And that's why Jesus Christ came and brought his own righteousness through his blood. Amen? But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness by which is from God by faith. That is the breastplate of righteousness. If you do not put on the breastplate of righteousness of Jesus, if you wear the, if you know about your salvation and you wear the belt of truth, but you do not wear your breastplate, if somebody shoots an arrow in your chest, you will die. When I say arrow, I mean spiritual arrows from the devil. He will devour you. Paul says to put on the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces, the whole armor of God. I'd like you to turn to verse 15 of Ephesians 6. It says, having shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Shod is, in the Roman times, they had these sandals. That's the shod. So putting on shoes, basically, for the gospel of peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Why do we say peace? The reason we say peace is that before we knew Christ, we were enemies of God through sin. Because of sin in our life, we were hated in the principle of it. We were shameful. We were sinners. And through Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, he brings peace between man and God, or humanity and God, through his blood. We are forgiven, and that's the peace we have with God. Many a times it has happened that when we are, especially I work in a university, half of, I would say almost 100% of people I work with are atheists or do not believe in God. And it is hard. One day I was sitting in lunch and they asked me, so, what do you think? The earth was built in 6 days? I said, yes. They started laughing at my face. They laughed at my face. But no, yes, it was in 6 days. On the 7th day, God rested. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Another verse which I'd like to bring to you is Luke 9:26. This is a very dangerous part. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man, that is Jesus, will be ashamed when he comes on in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus died for us. He removed the shame which we cannot speak to anybody. He's done so much for us. He's loved us. Then who are we to be ashamed of it? That's what we have to remember. If he can do so much for us, this is the least we can do, is share wherever we get the opportunity. And that is the Great Commission. When we be, what I felt is that whenever I shared the word of God anywhere, I felt stronger spiritually at the end of it. When it finished, I felt closer to God. Why? Because I have my shoes on. What happens with Christians sometimes today is that out of shame, we do not speak or we try to avoid it. Then what actually is happening spiritually, you're walking barefooted. If you walk barefooted in the battlefield, you are bound to get hurt in your leg. Be it a thorn on the side or a spear direct to the leg. Your legs are open. Again, Paul says the whole armor of God. Not parts and bits. Amen? Then we like to go to the next verse, 16 in Ephesians. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to stand to quench, that is to burn out, all the fiery darts of the wicked one, that is the devil, who is standing outside on the door waiting for you to finish after this sermon. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas, For you see me and believe. Blessed are those who do not see me and yet believe. We are blessed because we believe and yet we do not see. And that is our faith. Whatever the circumstances, if you have a mustard seed of faith, you can move it. When I was a kid, I think preteens, my dad is an evangelical pastor as well. And I had a fever. I had a high fever. And I wanted to go to church because I had the hunger of God. But my dad said, you have too much of a fever. You cannot go. And I was praying about it. I was praying, God, I want to go. I want to listen to your church. I want to hear your word. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, as soon as I enter the church, my fever will go away. Lo and behold, my dad said, okay, if you want me to come, take you, I will take you. He takes me, and I'm singing and dancing, and there's no fever. That is faith. That is faith. In the church, I've seen many people heal. People who cannot get pregnant, they come and get prayed. They can have children. The blind, if they cannot see, they're prayed upon, they get healed. Amen? And that's the shield of faith. Sometimes you do not hear God. You pray to him. You spend hours praying. But the faith is the Holy Spirit has been sealed upon you. And that is faith. That is faith. You do not have to feel good. You do not have to see something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Amen? And I'd like to also ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says here, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful. If he has called you, he will accomplish what he has decided from the beginning of the foundations of the earth in you. He will do so. You just have to have the faith. And that is the shield of faith. And if you remember, Paul says, above all, take up the shield of faith. Above all. That is above the others. Because if the enemy shoots his darts, his arrows, his temptations, his sicknesses on you, if you do not have the faith, how would you block it with your shield? Amen? You need the shield of faith. You need to have the breastplate of righteousness, lest the shield of faith, a dart comes and crosses the shield of faith and hits you on the chest. You need that righteousness. How am I speaking here? Is it because of my own righteousness? Is it because I'm better than you? No. It is because of the righteousness of God for which I can stand here, knowing that my sins have been forgiven and I can talk to the world with boldness. Amen? It is the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness which we have to wear. And we have to, above all, take the shield of faith. That faith, no matter what the circumstance, God is with us. God loved us. Amen? The next verse says, in 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now let's break this down a bit. Helmet of salvation, I would like you to turn to Isaiah 55, verse 3. Now, as I'm saying this, you must have noticed we're jumping from Old Testament to New Testament. The fact of the matter is, everything is intertwined. Everything is consistent. The Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. There is no contradictions. There is no differences. They all are synergistic. It says, incline your ear. For those who have ears, let them hear. And come to me, come to God. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Everlasting. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the key of salvation. That Jesus came, died for us. We listen to him. We listen to the preacher. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And we receive salvation, the sure mercies of David. For his mercies are new every morning. Amen? I'd like you to turn with me again to Isaiah 50, the same chapter, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. As you know, this is the grace period where we do mistakes and we stand up because we call on him because he listens to us. But the day of salvation, when Jesus comes, the grace period will be over. So now is the time, not tomorrow. There was this nice poster which I saw. Those who wait for the 11th hour die at 10:30. That is true. I've seen that happen. People wait. Opportunities may not come. And that's why while he is near, listen to him. Ask forgiveness of sins. Stick to him. Now the second part it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, I would like you to open Joshua 1:8. It says here, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but this book of law, that is the Bible, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Meditate not on it, in it. Breathe it, live it, eat it, the word of God. And the word of God is living. Let's open John 1:1, the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh later on. I want you to open another chapter, Hebrews 4:2. It says here, for the Word of God, that is Jesus, and the book of law, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit. Wow. And the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. Remember in the beginning we said to withstand and to stand? If you only have the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel, and the belt of truth, how are you going to attack the devil with a shield? Are you going to hit him on the head with a shield? That could be possible till a certain extent. But you need the sword of the Spirit. You need to read the Word of God. Without the Word, we cannot fight. Remember, when the devil tempted Jesus, he used the Word of God against him. And yet Jesus countered. If we do not have a strong foundation, we try to make excuses in our own temptations. Whatever they may be. That this is okay according to God. We can do this much, we can do that. Because we do not build on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's stop right here just a second. You've taken the belt of truth. You've taken the breastplate of righteousness. You've taken the shield of faith. You've taken this helmet of salvation to secure your head so you don't get a headshot. You've taken the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Some of you may say, well, I've taken all of them. I know all of them. Some of you will say, well, these are some new stuff I'm learning. Maybe I take bits and parts. Yet we fall. We already know this, and yet we fall. Yet we fall. Why is that? Let's go to verse 18 in Ephesians. It says, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Before I explain this verse, I want you to open another verse, Matthew 26:41. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Remember Peter, James, and John at the Garden of Gethsemane when they were waiting on Jesus, they fell asleep. Do you think they did not have the armor of God? They were with Jesus. They were technically wearing Jesus, even more than what we are wearing today. But they were not praying. What is the point if you have the shield of faith, you have trust in God, you are assured of being sealed in the Holy Spirit, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the belt of truth, you have the shoes of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, and you sleep? If the devil attacks, you will die. You will be devoured. And that's what happens. Prayer is action of the armor of God. Action can only be taken by prayer because we fight against the heavenly host of wickedness, against the principalities, against the powers. We do not fight against flesh and blood. So if you want to fight, if you want to withstand, you have to bring your armor into action by praying, and prayer alone. And you cannot pray. One is not exclusive of the other. They're all together. If you miss one, you will fall. You have to have the whole armor, and you have to make the whole armor into action. You have to pray. And that's why Jesus said to him, pray. And then Ephesians 5:18-19 says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit, not fruits, huh? It is one fruit. It's not exclusive of the other. They're all inclusive. If you only have one fruit, that means your fruit is not growing into a full apple, if you want to call it an apple. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The first three are your relationship with God. The next three are how you interact with people. The last three is your Christian character. That's what we are supposed to focus on. My brothers and sisters, if you fall and if you stand, God has had patience with us all along. But we cannot let this cycle continue, for how long will the blood of Christ wash us from our sins? We have to take the belt of truth. We have to take the breastplate of righteousness. We have to take the shoes of the gospel. We have to take the shield of faith. We have to take the helmet of salvation. We have to take the sword of the Spirit. And we have to put that into action through prayer. And then you will not fall. You may become weak. You may get injured, but you will not fall. Even if you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you will fear no evil, because for the Lord is with you. Amen? And that's the important part. You have to wear the whole armor. This is the solution to why we fall. This armament is what we need. And action is what we need to do. So a Jesus life step to this would be, try to pray for 5 minutes every hour. If you cannot pray, if you can speak in tongues, speak in tongues. For the whole day before you sleep. I want to give you my example, not that I'm righteous, but by the grace of God, I have this Bible app. In that, I had 4 Bible apps, which gave me new verses every day. And then I had the Bible app, which gave another verse. And then I had the Billy Graham app, which gave me 6 verses. So I had 6 verses, 6 devotions throughout the day. And I found 3 more in total to bring it to 9. So these 9 verses, I distribute over the day, read it whenever I have problems. Not only problems, but I distribute them evenly throughout the day. So since morning when I wake up, I read one. And before I go to bed, I read one. And in between, I listen to Christian radio. I listen to Christian music throughout the day in my office. I put my headphones on, only Christian music. Working on my office, doing work. So I have Christian music in my head all the time. Even when I take it off, I'm singing the same song. I'm reading the verses throughout the day. And then I'm praying in tongues whenever I get the opportunity. And then at the same time, I try to pray every time and talk to God throughout the day. Throughout the day. It's not just one day. It's not just Sunday. It's throughout the day. And then in the evening, I read my Bible and pray. And once every Sunday, me and my wife read and meditate on the Word of God. And that's very, because it's a busy life. And the temptations, they're here. But they cannot come in. Why? Because we're wearing the whole armor of God and we're praying 24 hours a day. Prayer is not supposed to be one for a few moments. It's supposed to be every hour. So that would be the life step I would recommend. I would like to close it here by concluding Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers, against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take up the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, it's not once, it's praying always, in all prayer and supplication, that is petition, asking God, in the Spirit, being watchful, watch. Do not look down, watch. Where is the temptation coming from? Look away. Billy Graham said, well, the first time you see a temptation, you cannot help because it's just there. Look away. Just look away. Do not continue looking. Because the second time you look, you start getting into the sin. Look away. Move away from things which put you in temptation. Prayer always in the spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance, self-control, long-suffering, part of the fruit of the spirit, and supplication for all the saints. We all who have been saved by Christ are saints. We're supposed to pray for each other. Lest anybody fall into temptation. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the servant leaders. Pray for those who are here. Pray for the connect group leaders. Pray for the connect group administrators. Pray for us all. Lest we fall into temptation. Amen? With this, I'd like to end with Philippians 3:14. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. And through this, wearing the whole armor of God and praying, you will be able to reach this goal. And the next verse to encourage you, I would like to say, is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God is truth. If he saved you, he's going to ensure you go to the end. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God and again and again.